Tommy. Good morning there, big fella.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Pardon?
I said I can hear you loud and clear.
That's all that fucking matters.
That's all that matters. You know what really matters, though, is having a sweet intro, because everybody seems to be telling us that we should have an intro for our podcast.
Yep. Wait, we're recording already?
Oh, there we go. Hi, Tom. It's great to see you again.
Good to see you too, Chris.
When you talk about the podcast to your friends and you tell them the name of the podcast being The Hang and Bang, what do they say?
Well, I've only really told like one person, which is and the response is just like, why? And then that usually ends the conversation because they don't get it. They don't get it.
They don't ask the details of why the name and what it means?
Nicole is just like, why? What the fuck is wrong with you guys?
Oh, the one person who knows is your wife.
Yeah, Scott knows. I think a couple of my other buddies know.
Well, I'd assume that your wife knows because she's probably wondering like why you have a microphone set up and you're just talking into your laptop.
Yeah, she doesn't get it. She's a non-believer. No, she knows.
What would it take to turn her into a believer?
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I think it's too far gone at this point.
Well, I mean,
she's not the target audience, you know?
She's 16 solid episodes, I believe.
She's not open to all this goodness. Doesn't want to better herself, so she's a lost cause.
Hey, that's what happens when you're addicted to cheese whiz and maple syrup.
Yeah, your life goes to shit.
It's true. What's new? What's exciting? What's going on with Tom?
We haven't talked in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, close to.
I've actually been reading a lot more. Because I literally fucking like Instagram, YouTube, and like Reddit just broke me. Like I remember looking at my phone and like scrolling through Reddit and just being like, I don't like what I'm looking at. I don't want to keep looking at it. And then you just like keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling.
Yeah.
And like 20 minutes later, you put it down.
Yeah. It's something that I think everyone kind of struggles with nowadays is just the fact of like, there's so many sources of kind of like places that you can just kind of be lost in when it comes to like Reddit or Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is like you use as your like consumption place, like just mindless scrolling versus like choosing to pick up a book and be like, oh, this is on a topic that I want to read.
Yeah. So I've actually started to, I go on YouTube and I look at all this like stuff I subscribe to and I look at stuff. I'm like, that could be interesting. That could be interesting. I'm just like, I just have no desire to like sit through it.
I did a big unsubscribe from a bunch of podcasts the other day too. I found like just my feed was getting, there's no way that I could have ever have even like consumed that many podcasts.
Yeah.
So I had to kind of go through and be like, all right, like which ones of these are actually like, do I enjoy listening to? Which ones are like, am I learning something from? And which ones are like not necessarily adding more stress to me? Because it's easy to like, especially when it comes to like business podcasts, consume way too many. And then all of a sudden like beat yourself up and be like, oh, this is stuff I should be acting on or doing. And it's overwhelming.
Yeah, it gets so dense with shit. And like sometimes I'll go on like the trending list, which is like the most popular videos. And it's just fucking garbage.
Half of them are just like, what do you call that shit again? Like K-pop videos.
Yeah, it's all, a lot of it's driven by like teenagers that are like good look. I shouldn't say good looking teenagers, but fuck it. And then with like a lot of money, and they're posting like these fucking clickbait videos of like, oh, we broke up, and it has like 15 million views in 20 minutes. It's just like all horse shit.
It's weird.
But like
it's
all that
really weird.
High school and middle school students are like driving so much fucking viewage because they all have phones, they all have Wi-Fi, and they're just fucking like scrolling through.
Yeah, it's where they get all their content from.
Like imagine growing up and being like, I want to be a fucking YouTube star.
Yeah.
It's because some of them make like $15 million a year.
Yeah, there was that kid. I forget how old he was. He was like 7 years old or 8 years old.
The toy reviewer kid?
Yeah, the toy reviewer kid. He would just like unbox toys and be like, this is fun.
And he'd get like stupid amounts of fucking money.
Oh man.
Yeah, I've been reading what am I reading now? like the Tim Ferriss book, Tribe of Mentors.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
So where he asks like, I don't know, 150 people the same questions. And I like it. It's amazing
That one's good for like jumping in and out of.
Yeah. I like it because it's crazy to see how so many different people, if they're like an actor or an ultra marathon person or like a physicist, how many similarities there are between them. Like their different ideologies.
The one thing I do notice from most of them as well is their consumption of things like social media are like next to none.
Yeah. Like as far as I've seen so far, the most common things are they all read.
Yeah.
They all get some form. A lot of them get some form of exercise. A lot of them meditate.
It was like 80% or 85%, I think he ended up finding.
Yeah. A lot of them are like, don't try and do something that's already popular. Just like do something that like you think is good. And then eventually like people will just fucking follow. Like don't try and fucking find a trend and do it. Just like do your own thing.
Yeah.
And then it's all like, if you're under the age of 30, do whatever the fuck you want. Who cares about anything else?
I wish that was kind of like something that I had like learned at that point in my life. Where it's like, that's the time really to experiment. Not that there's ever like a time to sort of like give up and dig in and just, but really that like you don't have any major commitments. You might be married, you might not. You probably don't have kids if you're someone from like a newer generation like us. Yeah. Like you have all the freedom in the world just to kind of like go buck wild and like you could work for next to nothing, but like your experience that you're going to get from working for like certain people or individuals or organizations even, like pays dividends huge.
I wouldn't have had this mindset 15 years, like 12, 13 years ago. Cause if someone had said, cause I wouldn't have been reading these books. And so I'd read that and been like, I don't want to do that. I just want to fucking get hammered every day with my friends.
It's true.
But now looking back, like, oh, I should have done that, but that's not what you wanted to do. I did exactly what I wanted to do in my 20s and I don't regret it.
No, I think without sounding like too cheese balls, but like life kind of unfolds as it's meant to unfold for you.
Yeah.
You can't really
look back and talk about what you could have done differently, but
yeah, you can't like force stuff, right?
No.
And no, but
it's a good book. I like it.
What else are you reading right now?
Oh, I finished Linchpin by Seth Godin, which was good. And then the other books I think I have The Dip by Seth Godin I'm going to read.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think I have Deep Work by Cal Newport.
Oh, one of my faves.
And then I have like an active Amazon fucking cart that I want to read. I want to read 5 books. Fuck, I can't read that much.
Oh, you're getting into like the Nancy Drew series or something? Yeah, some kind of read, like adventure.
I want to read Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
That's a good one.
I want to read Atomic Habits by James Clear.
That's a good one.
I want to read 10% Happier by Dan Harris.
Yeah. He's got a good podcast too.
Does he? I want to read Tools for Titans by Tim Ferriss. And I want to read Robert Iger's. He's like the CEO of Disney. Apparently the book he wrote was like amazing. Talking about like the 15 years before he became CEO and the 15 years while he was CEO.
Oh, okay.
So I want to read those 5.
I've heard of that one, but I've never read that one.
So I'll read that.
Now that would probably be a pretty like interesting read because Disney's one of those kind of like organizations where like the things they do are pretty crazy. Like just the full kind of like customer experience that they somehow have like created is wild.
Yeah. And they've acquired they own like Marvel and fucking all this shit.
Oh, they're massive.
They're huge. So I'll probably end up reading those. I might just order all 5 and just fucking sit on them. But
hey, I think like I used to kind of give myself shit for that, but sometimes it's nice to have like a bookshelf of books you haven't read yet, but you can kind of like pick them up and read through them, especially books like Tribe of Mentors or like Tools of Titans. Like those ones, you're not really reading it cover to cover because it's like the same thing over and over again. Yeah. So you kind of like dip in and out depending on like what you're kind of like thinking at that moment and maybe you need a little bit of help with.
Yeah. I like the idea of having a couple. Cause when you finish, cause like you might want to read them all 5, but when you're finished a book and you're looking at them, depending on the day, you might want to start one or the other. So yeah, I'm doing that. I actually started, what did I do? I started doing transcendental meditation, trans transcendental meditation.
Like you took a, are you taking a course?
No, I just did like a, I watched like a YouTube thing and then I've been doing it for like 3 days.
So you do it twice a day then?
I've just been doing it once just to like get in, just to like set the expectation low to keep myself accountable and like get into it. But it's good because now before when I was working at the office, I didn't do it in the morning. And like when I get home, like I wasn't, but now I can just like set aside fucking 20 minutes at like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock and just go do it.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I've never done TM because like the really you're supposed to take like a course, right? Like for yeah. TM, and like they give you like your own personal mantra or whatever. And what is it? You do it in the morning and then you do it at night for 20 minutes each time.
Yeah.
It looks pretty interesting.
Yeah. So I'll do it for like a month. And if I really like it, then I might like actually do a course, see what it's like.
Do you still use Headspace at all? Like the meditation?
Not really. I use it sometimes. Like if we're having trouble going to sleep, we'll listen to it, but on a regular basis, not really.
Yeah.
Now that I have the time or now that I have the flexibility of being at home, I could do something on a more regular basis.
Meditation, I've always found one of those like hard ones to like stick to and keep like implemented as part of like your routine. Like I dip in and out of it a lot. Like I've had periods where like I've done it for, I think like I did it once for like 100 days straight.
Yeah.
And then after that, I missed one and then I fell off for like 3 weeks.
Yeah. It's hard to be super consistent.
My life is definitely better when I meditate on like a consistent basis though.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons why I'm trying to do it is because the whole mental illness thing, that whole thing, I've seen like how many terrible things the brain can do. So I'm wondering what kind of, like if you go to the opposite end of the spectrum, like what kind of good shit could I do if I do some stuff?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay, too spiritual. Why not? See how it goes. Take it for a rip.
Well, like I think, who was it? Like somebody talked about like a lot of the discomfort that we have in today's society comes from not being able to sit with like a still and quiet mind. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you're always distracted, right? Like no matter what you're doing, like unless you're very intentional, chances are like any single moment that you have where like before you would have just like stood in line at the grocery store, you're pulling out your phone, you're looking at it. You're not like pulling it out for a specific reason. You're just like, your brain's like, I'm fucking bored. Give me something to do.
Yeah. Like I have three screens in front of me right now, plus my phone, plus I have an Apple Watch. Like,
are you always working with like three screens in front of you?
Yeah.
Do you find that distracting?
No. 'Cause I have my left screen is my Outlook. So my email.
So you have email up all the time.
Yeah.
I'll be interested when you read Deep Work. If you continue doing that.
Because it's distracting. So I have sure. that. And then on my right screen, like the screen I'm looking at right now, I have like Spotify and like Trello and like Microsoft Teams and like Messenger. So like communication. And then the middle is like work or if I'm like looking at the internet for something.
So if you were to say like break it down in percentages of like which screen you're looking at throughout the day, what would it be?
Probably 50% in the center, 30% on the left, 20% on the right.
I'd be interested to see like if you did actually like track those, like use say like a time tracker or something, how much time was actually, because it's like people often like inflate percentages. Like I often find that with like cell phones, you ask people, it's like, oh, how much time do you like spend on your cell phone? They're like, I don't know, like an hour, 2 hours. Then I'll be like, pull out your phone for a sec. And then they'll look at their screen time. It's like fucking 6+ hours average. Like, and you're like, whoa, I spent 2 hours alone on Instagram, much less everything else.
Yeah. Like if I look at, where's the screen time? My daily average is, fuck me, like 4 hours. And it's like, well, Google Maps is a lot of it.
I don't think that counts.
No. So if you take that out, it's like, in the past week, it's probably like 20, 30 minutes on Instagram, like 20, 30 minutes on YouTube, which doesn't seem like a lot, but I got to do less. Like I'm going to start, I made a point today to like there's no reason why I need to charge my phone in my room, because I don't use it as an alarm.
I stopped doing that last year, and I find like it improved my sleep because I wasn't just like reaching over for it in the middle of the night, or like even just like it promoted the fact that like rather than mindlessly scrolling before bed, I would like read a book.
Yeah.
And I mean, just the alarm clock, people are like, oh, I use it as an alarm clock. That's kind of like a bullshit excuse. Like you can easily get another fucking alarm clock that does.
I use my watch as an alarm.
$1,200 phone does.
Yeah. Like I use my watch as an alarm because it just vibrates on my wrist. So like it doesn't wake up Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
And I can press snooze 75 times and it doesn't piss her off.
Yeah. I found one good thing that like helped me when it came to like starting to decrease the amount that I used some of those apps was started with like timers first, of being like, I only want to use it for say like half hour a day, put that timer in it, then it gives you like a warning of saying like you have 5 minutes left today or something like that.
Yeah. I was reading like Arianna Huffington said that she sometimes, she like reorganizes her apps all the time. So it's not just like mindless open Instagram done. She has to like, you almost have to look for it. And in those like 3 to 5 seconds, you might be like, I don't fucking need to do this.
Yeah.
They give your brain a chance to think about other shit. So what'd you do on your vacation?
A lot of sleeping, eating, and swimming.
Just where'd you do it? You went to Lindsay's cottage, right?
No, this was up like Kawartha Lakes way. So like Northern Ontario, Peterborough area.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. It's one of those places like, I really do like step away from my phone for that time too. No email. I mean, I'll send the odd like text or something, but like I don't have my phone on me.
No.
Like it'll be somewhere in the cottage or something like that. And
it's nice. I do appreciate going to cottages more now than I probably ever have, just to like go away and not fucking, because even you're sitting at home doing nothing, like there's always like, oh, I could be doing this, could be doing that. But if you're away, it's like, well, fuck it.
Yeah. And like, I find I can be like a bit of a, that's where like me whole, like I carry a book where it's like the three things, like my big three for the day that I want to finish. Cause I found that helped me before. I would just have like a to-do list.
Yeah.
And I would like, often I would finish things and then add to it. And then like, even if I had done the things that I wanted to do during the day and I had accomplished them, like I still didn't feel like I accomplished anything because I kept adding to the list. And then I would almost like, again, feel overwhelmed and anxious. So being like sticking to that, like big three for the day, finishing those and being like, okay, like if I said that's all I wanted to accomplish today and I did it, I'm good.
Yeah. I've been doing those Business Made Simple planners and like just picking like two or three things that are sort of putting you towards what you want to achieve the most. And if you can get those done every single day, then you're going to be okay. Stay consistent. You don't have to fucking do 15 things a day every day, because you'll just burn out and be miserable.
Well, and like, in all honesty, if you're doing 15 things a day, you're not making progress.
No, it's good though.
Like, how did you end up deciding what the kind of like main things is that like you'll work on each day? Or that will kind of like actually move you towards what it is that you want.
So like I'm trying to do, like a part of it is like Seth Godin's like ideology about like shipping stuff. So instead of talking about stuff, like actually creating things and shipping things. So like my revenue generation is by creating new products or branding stuff and selling it. So if I can do anything, if I can do like primarily focus on that, and if I can get that aspect done, then do stuff where it's regards to like personal development. So doing like a Business Made Simple course, or if it's like promoting the brand, sending an email, like doing back end stuff. So like today my thing was like, I'm launching new shirts on Monday. And today my list was finalize the shirts that I'm going to pick. And I did that. So now I know what's going to be printed, what's going to be on it. And then my secondary thing was like, I have some blank shirts I want to get printed with other stuff. So I contacted the screen printer and said, hey, I have this, I want to drop it off. And then my third thing, is do proposals made simple. And if I get to it, great. If not, the other shit's more important.
Yeah. And one thing like I think that you're starting to do too is like even being specific with those things that you do write down of like, say like business made simple when you're doing, say, like the proposal section. Like before I would have put that as like one of my three, or it's like, oh, I'm doing proposals today. But then like you think of it, like that's like a fucking 7 or 8 module thing. There's like under each module, there's like 3 or 4 videos you watch. And then there's a workbook. So then I was like, even then I wasn't specific enough. So now I'll be like, one of my things for the day will be, say, like watch 2 videos and fill out workbook.
Yeah. Like do one module.
Break it down into like a lot of people. I think like you make big goals, but what you really have to be able to do is like chunk them down into like tiny, like super little, like tiny, tiny goals that like are actually like accomplishable at the end of the day.
Or else you look at it and be like, oh, it's going to take me a few hours, and you keep pushing it off because you don't want to do it. And really like those things, like I like to do it because I actually enjoy doing it and I think they're kind of fun. But mm-hmm. if I didn't do it for 6 months, my life isn't going to fucking go to shit.
No, that's for sure. I think the shipping thing is a big thing too. It's like
putting
things out there, because it's very easy to like get stuck in sort of like a researching, just taking courses, like doing all the things to kind of like almost like stall actually doing work, like putting something out there.
Yeah. Like I was like, I'm doing the Real Men Go to Therapy shirts on Monday. And I was like fucking around in Canva trying to pick like the perfect font. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, who cares? This looks fine. Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not going to convert people less or more because the font is like a little more aesthetically pleasing.
I love that you're making those shirts.
Fuck it. Why not? I think it'll do well. But because I think it'll do well, I'll probably sell none, but at least I'm doing it. So who cares?
When do those go up?
Monday.
Oh, nice.
And I'm trying to pivot from the CMHA because I don't think that is really like niche enough. Like realistically, I don't know if we talked about this before. I could write a $50,000 check to the CMHA. Not actually, because I don't have the money, but like say I sold 1 billion shirts and had 50 grand, I could give it to the CMHA. They would be thankful. They would take a picture. It would go into the fucking fund of excellence, and that would be it. But if I partnered with a local practice, which I'm looking to do, I'm meeting one tomorrow, and trying to develop a specific like collaborative program that can offer subsidized, cheaper therapy sessions for people in Kitchener-Waterloo, that would have way more of an impact than saying, oh, we're giving 50 grand to this fucking giant machine that, yes, does good things, but where is it going? I don't know.
Yeah. One would be a drop in a bucket, whereas one has the potential to kind of like be shaped more so in like, I would say something that's aligned with like is meaningful to you as well.
Yeah. Like I'm trying to like partner with this practice and say sort of how can we sort of work together to sort of provide some kind of cheaper therapy, but it's not any less valuable. So say instead of $150 an hour, it's $50 an hour, because either they have volunteers, like therapists that want to be a part of this program, or if she kicks in money, and then I also kick in money to sort of help sort of alleviate that pain that they might have to like hit financially. So you can offer it to people, because yes, they offer free consultations, but you get a consultation, like, okay, great. Like, okay, now it's $150.
Well, some of the most successful models that I've been a part of when it comes to that kind of stuff is moving away from individual therapy to group therapy, right? Yeah. Where it becomes something where it's like, rather than being, say, like, I think what can happen is like in the group therapy, sometimes you can identify, say, things that can't be addressed as like a collective. But for the most part, like most of like the mental health issues that like people struggle with can kind of be at least like addressed in a group setting, because they are so like common as far as like depression, anxiety, panic disorders, like being able to talk about those and kind of like start to understand them. And then if like, say, like individual trauma comes up, or things that are more appropriate for, say, like a one-on-one conversation, those can kind of like then be sort of like pushed to like a therapist. But like, it's, yeah. There was a organization in Hamilton called like the Lost Organization. And they did that. Like every day they had like a couple different times where you could like pop in. And then it was more or less like they'd have kind of like a 12 or 13 week, almost like program that you go through. And each week would have like a topic that you would kind of like sit down and talk about. And like, you would get like a couple minutes to sort of like share how you are emotionally right now. And then there would be sort of like one lead person. It's usually like a volunteer, or in some cases, like some kind of like mental health counselor.
Yeah.
Great. Like I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. I think that'd be good. I've never done the group thing, but I think it'd be beneficial as long as there's like one person who's a lead, and then one person, at least one person, if they're not the lead, if someone that has some sort of like actual medical designation or background that has like actual physical training. I don't even think you really need that, but I think it would help.
Well, like one of the biggest things they've found with mental health stuff now is like, there's a lot more benefits of working with, say, like peer support workers than there is in some cases of working with, say, like a psychologist, depending again, like where you are on that kind of like spectrum of dealing with your mental health. But a lot of people like the peer support worker of like somebody who's been through what you are currently going through gives you that immediate kind of like trust of recognizing that, oh, this person was where I was at one time. And they were able to overcome it. And now I can have a conversation about what that's like. And then being able to address those needs, where like clearly some things through like a peer support worker need the professional kind of like aspect, like you mentioned. But in a lot of cases, like you can kind of get to the same place just by going down a bit of a different path.
Yeah, like the book, one of the books I read, it's called like Dare, the New Way to End Anxiety and Stop Panic Attacks by Barry McDonough. He's not, I don't think he's a like a psychologist or a therapist, but he went through sort of like panic attacks and anxiety. And then he basically talked about his own experience. So like immediately credibility through the roof, because you're just like, I know exactly what he's talking about.
For sure. Yeah. You need people with lived experience to talk to. Like not someone who you're talking to and then goes, hold on, let me just look through my textbook. Go, oh, so a panic attack is this. And it's like, no, I want to talk to somebody who's had a panic attack.
Yeah. Sometimes just simple like theory and law and like science doesn't actually like help. Like that's one of the things I would like, you know, in therapy, the therapist really doesn't talk about themselves. Like they don't really share any really relevant information. I think it would be more, I don't know if it would be bad, but I think it could be beneficial if the person was like, hey, I've gone through this. This is what worked for me. But if you do it in a way where it's not saying, if you're not like, then I don't know if the person's going to compare themselves to you, or I don't know.
Well, it's sort of like the basis of like establishing trust, right? Like you can establish trust a lot quicker through shared experience than you can of just like sitting across from someone, more or less like feeling like you can often feel like somebody's judging you or they don't fully understand your experience, but then like, it's not to say that like you're comparing experiences, but to understand that somebody's been through something similar so they can show a level of empathy, it makes it that much easier to kind of like deal with it yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Were you ever a part of a group where it was almost like a group that got together in Hamilton that was like like-minded individuals and like entrepreneurs who like get together and like do a bunch of shit and talk about ideas and stuff, almost like an incubator type thing? Am I making shit up?
I don't think I was a part of anything like that. I've been a part of like co-working spaces and things like that, but I've never found a group as far as that goes that does that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Why are you joining one?
No, I was just saying it would be good because talking to you is great because we're sort of like, in a roundabout way, trying to achieve the same things and like grow a small business. But I just didn't know I thought you were for some reason part of some like collective of people. I don't know.
I had been talking about trying to create more so one like that. Cause like I've tried to join ones before, but it ends up being kind of filled with like multi-level marketers and just people kind of trying to sell their like doTERRA essential oils and not really entrepreneurship.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to like, is it collaborative or is it someone just trying to like get ideas to help their own thing and then fucking leave?
Yeah, I think that's where the benefit of, say, like a mastermind comes in, of like having a whole range of people who, again, like you're not necessarily like marketing to each other. It's about having conversations like we are now.
Yeah. Maybe it's almost like it's better if it's like a one-on-one thing as opposed to like a group setting.
Yeah, I think there's a whole, like there's one, it's called the Rising Tide Society. They're through HoneyBooks. It's like a CRM that runs it. I think it's HoneyBooks or something.
HoneyBook.
Yeah, HoneyBook. And they do one, I think it's like, they're all across like North America, they do them. And they do them, I think it's like one Tuesday a month or two Tuesdays a month. And it's like a networking group, but then they'll also, each session will have some kind of like topic, whether it's like how to make videos for social media or how to generate more leads.
Yeah.
Anything along those lines. And then they have conversations about it. And like those, I think, could be useful as well. Because it's nice being able to learn in a group setting.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about Shopify is they have like classes like this. They basically just inject you with as many free resources as you could possibly want.
I mean, one of the things I'm sort of at it, like I'm not really interested in joining any like online type community when it comes to that. Like I'm sort of at like, I would like some in-person stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like I would think like an in-person sort of group would be nice. It's just a matter of how do you make it effective? I don't know.
Well, maybe that's where Chris and Tom step up and start like the Real Men Do Therapy group.
There you go. I've always wanted to do something where it's kind of fucked up because of COVID, but if you have like I've always wanted to do like a men's night at a bar where you like come and like have a beer. I don't know if you could just kind of like shoot the shit with people, like not really have like a set schedule, but just sort of like an open conversation, knowing that the people there are like not going to shame you for talking about mental health or anything. And like having beers is a good way to connect with people anyways.
I think it, like from what I've learned from a lot of the group things, it can be useful to have some structure, or else they just become these kind of like shit talking groups, or like there's always one person that goes off on tangents every time. So it's kind of like, it's nice to have at least like talking points where you can kind of like pull conversations back and keep you on track. And like to be able to really like provide something that like people benefit from that results in like something in their life that's like tangible. Like they can leave that and go, oh, like I have some tools or some strategy that like I can pull from my tool belt now.
Yeah, maybe you can almost do like a group therapy session, like at a bar or at a restaurant or something in a circle. And you just like happen to have like food and drink if you want.
Oh, I mean, you could even do something quite similar to like the productivity course where like as a group, you kind of go through and start to almost like design your life plan, right? Like where is it that you want to be in 5 years? Like, let's get a clear picture of where you want to be. Now, like, let's break it down into how you actually accomplish that. Like, put it into like a step-by-step kind of like plan that like actually allows you to kind of like create milestones towards those goals. So like you can start to like make some progress towards that life you want.
Yeah. I think that could be beneficial.
Boom. There's an idea.
Oh, I'm exhausted.
I am exhausted. You know what? I think that might be a good place to wrap her up for today. But I would almost say to people out there, stay tuned. Maybe there's an idea in here that we could start to pull together for a hang and bang in-person group meeting. But we'll have to be very clear on the definition of what a hang and bang is.
Yeah. Or it could be, so you could get some fucking crazy shit showing up. But
yeah. Yeah. You never know. All right, Tommy. Pleasure as always.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
See you. Bye.